All right, our scripture text this morning is taken from John chapter 1 and verse 1. John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. See, John chapter 1 deals with the divinity and the incarnation, the humanity of Jesus Christ. He who is fully God also took upon himself full humanity. As John also writes, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. As Isaiah says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Now many have undertaken to study the meaning of the Word. And a lot of folks have looked at the Greek word for word, which is logos. And that term logos denotes the Greek philosophical concepts of reason and speech. But we have to remember that the Apostle John was not a philosopher. He was not a Greek, but he was a Jew. And he was not writing a treatise on Greek philosophy. He was writing for the purpose that we may believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and have life in his name. Now, there is some debate among scholars whether John originally wrote his gospel in Aramaic or Greek. But whatever the case, John's concept of the Word did not come from Greek philosophy. It came from the Hebrew word concept, devar, and the Aramaic word concept of memra. So today we're going to look at the second of these, the memra, and we'll all walk away with a greater understanding of Jesus, the Word. So bear with me. I've just got a little bit more of the technicality to dispense with, and then we're going to hammer home some applications. But it's important that we get the background understanding of where John is coming from when he's writing his gospel, when he's writing this verse. Now, in Jesus' day and in John's day, the Hebrew scriptures were available. But for the common people, for the Jews in the land, for the Jews of the diaspora, Aramaic was the common language. Aramaic is a derivative language of the Hebrew. And the rabbis taught from the Targums, which were written in Aramaic, and these were Aramaic interpretations of the Hebrew scriptures. So perhaps the closest thing we have today is what's called the Amplified Bible. And what that does is it has the literal translation of the scriptures, but it has some explanatory words that are brought in to help the reader get the sense without giving too much commentary. So this is what the Targums are, or the Targumim, more properly. You can hear it by either name. Now, for John the Apostle, who was a first century Jew, the Targums were very familiar, and he and his readers quickly understood from his gospel that Jesus is the memra of Jewish theology, a concept derived from Scripture. So the memra was brought into the concept of logos, the Greek concept, and not the other way around. So thus concludes our technical explanation. If you really, really like technicalities, I will refer you to the Jewish Encyclopedia and the extended commentary of Dr. Arnold Frutenbaum on this subject in Yeshua, the Life of the Messiah. Two Bible applications that come from the memra understanding of the Word. So when the Jew or the Jewish proselyte or somebody who was who became a Christian who would be grafted into this Jewish understanding. Of course, the first church was where? At Jerusalem. The first church was at Jerusalem, and it was the Jews who had the oracles of God. So all of these things would flow from the Jewish understanding. And the two major the two major things that would be understood with regard to the Memra is that the Word is the agent of creation, number one. And number two, the Word is the agent of salvation. So when you read through John chapter 1 and you read through John's Gospel, you're going to see that what John is proving is that Jesus is the agent of creation and that he is also the agent of salvation. So the agent of creation is where it begins. And throughout the Gospel, we're going to see how Jesus is the agent of salvation. First, the Word is the agent of creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. There's the Word. There's the Memra, the agent of creation. And then John writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. For by him, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him." And again in Psalms, "By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deep in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast." And again, "He sends out his command to the earth. His word runs very swiftly. He gives snow like wool. He scatters the frost like ashes. He casts out his hail like morsels. Who can stand before his cold?" Again, he sends out his word and melts them. "He causes his wind to blow and the waters flow. He declares his word to Jacob, his statutes and his judgments to Israel. He has not dealt thus with any nation, and as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise the Lord." So the Memra of God is something that God the Father sends out. And is that not what God the Father did when he sent his word, God the Son, out into this world to accomplish his purposes? We have presented undeniable evidence that Jesus Christ is the Word, God, the Memra, the agent of creation with regard to all things. But he is more than this. This same Jesus can make a new creation out of you. I think that was a commercial. I think it was for the army. "I'll make a man out of you." Remember this? I'm probably dating myself. I'm going way back. Well, you know what? This same Jesus can make a new creation out of you. Has he already done this work in any of you who are here this morning? If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. "Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." And this leads us to our second point of application, that the Word is the agent of salvation. In John chapter 3, the Apostle John continues his theme of the Word, the agent of salvation. He records the words of Jesus where his creation and his salvation works intersect. Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Paul tells us that the believer has been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. How? Through the Word of God, by the agency of the Son, which lives and abides forever. Consider how the Word of the Lord has come not only through Christ in his incarnation, not only in writing, but by vision of faith. The word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Those who believe upon the word have salvation. But just as there was no deliverance for national Israel in unbelief, we can be sure that deliverance shall not come to those who prefer the wilderness of sin to the living word of salvation. Those of whom it is written, they despise the pleasant land. They did not believe his word, but they complained in their tents. It did not heed the voice of the Lord. Therefore, he raised his hand in an oath against them to overthrow them in the wilderness. God's agent of salvation was the same then as he is now. He is Jesus the Son. Again, it is written, God, who at various times in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, by his Word, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This same word who entered into his own creation at conception in the cradle and became the agent of salvation for all who believe is able to keep you in his everlasting arms forever. For there are three that bear witness in heaven: the Father. Notice that John doesn't say the Son here. The Word and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he has testified of his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given. of his Son. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. You know, one day, Jesus Christ, the Word, the Memra, the agent of creation and the agent of salvation, shall return. Is this good news or bad news for you? In the book of Revelation, we read this. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood. The blood of his enemies. The blood of those who refuse in this life to bow the knee. And his name is called the Word of God. Who is Jesus to you? Is he the Word in the Bible sense to you? Is he your agent of creation? Is he your agent of salvation? I hope that he is. If not, you have today to straighten that out once and for all. And if so, will you consider the scriptures that have been set forth before you today as you worship and as you pray in the days to come? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the beautiful way in which you have begun your work through creation, and how you have finished that work which is necessary for our salvation. Lord, we thank you that we still have an agent of salvation. We thank you that that salvation is secure in the heavenlies. May we consider the totality of your work as we approach Christmas and celebrate the beauty of your Son in this season. May we rejoice in the written Word of God. And may we rejoice in the living Word, your Son, Jesus Christ. May you cut to each and every heart that whatever may be needful, whether it be peace with God through Jesus Christ, which is freely offered to all in my hearing this morning, whether that peace be peace for the first time, a relief of anxiety for God's child, or a continued assurance for the one who has been walking with you and is seeking more cause to rejoice this morning. We thank you for this time, and we trust that you will continue to work through the rest of our service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.